Good morning. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. I have a special passion for this day. I pastor a church called Holy Trinity Parish from 1991 to 1996. And therefore, I have special passion for the church and also for this special day. And during the Holy Trinity Sundays, there are many Sundays from today onwards all the way to end of October. We emphasize on the teaching of Christ Jesus and bring out the truth of the Holy Trinity. And last week I shared with you the very last portion of Mark chapter 4 regarding Jesus come the sea. And today I move forward to the front part of chapter 4, which is the parable of the sower. And this is the very first parable preached by Christ Jesus. He gave this very special teaching. And just now you heard the reading of the first part from verses 1 to 12. And Jesus mentioned, as recorded by Mark, those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. I wonder any of you pay attention to this same parable recorded in Matthew and Luke. The same parable, but the conclusion are different. This parable is very special. In Matthew, it mentioned the seed that is sown on the good soil would have hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Can you see it's different from what is recorded in Mark? Mark said 30, and then 60, and then 100. It's in the reverse pattern. Where Luke recorded, it will yield a hundredfold and full stop. Why? Is it contradiction or cause confusion? And what is the reason? Are they all the same? If they are all the same, why couldn't God just put it the same? God has a purpose. If you read into the Bible carefully, which I urge you to do many times, Matthew was writing to the Jews, proving Christ Jesus is the King. In fact, King of Kings. And this King is demanding. Therefore, he demands hundredfold and then 60 because he has compassion and mercy. And if you produce 30, acceptable too. And I think most of us, if you are a worker, your boss asks you to set a target for your work. We tend to start from so-called achievable goal. Start with a lower standard. And Mark was writing to the Romans, proving Christ Jesus is the servant. And with this servant's mentality, it starts with 30. If we can achieve, okay, let's raise the standard to 60. And go on, if we are able, aim at 100. And what about Luke? He was writing to the wise people, the Greeks, presenting Jesus as the perfect man. And if he is perfect, nothing below 100 is acceptable. It must be 100. And this is not discrepancy. And today, as we read this parable, the disciple could not understand. And when he was alone, those who around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. When you read the Bible, always ask. Don't pretend you know. In fact, every verse, try to dig into questions. If after reading verses 1 to 12, no question asked, you think you understand, then you are better than the disciples. Because the disciples could not understand. And they came and asked Jesus, what do you mean? Last year I shared with you, whenever Jesus sit down and teach, or stand up to teach, the listeners normally will get a shock. Like last year when we talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan, a certain man went from Jerusalem down to Jericho. A certain man. All the listeners, they got a shock. Do you have the feeling? If not, that means you cannot grab the meaning of the Bible. This road is very dangerous. During Jesus' time, no one would walk along this road alone. When they heard a certain man going alone, he must be stupid or a foreigner without knowing the local condition. How dare him? And Jesus was addressing a huge crowd. Some of them were fishermen. Most of them were farmers. In fact, Jesus, who is the greatest teacher on earth, I praise God today we have computer, we have PowerPoint, we have projector. And we can use all this in teaching. But during Jesus' time, no such things available. But Jesus was using whatever materials available. There are birds flew by. Jesus said, look, they don't plant, they don't sow, and they don't harvest. And yet God the Father take care of them. And he sees flower along the roadside. Look, they are beautiful than King Solomon. And when he saw sower working on the field, so he pointed, look, a sower is going out to sow. And here come the parable. He was using something easily understood by the people during that time. And we need to go back all the way to Jesus' time and to grab the understanding of what he was teaching. And he was addressing farmers. So when he said, the seed that fell on the good soil will yield 30 times, 60 times, 100 times, all the farmers, what are you talking about? Do you know, in normal circumstances, or during Jesus' time, how many times of harvest they would be able to yield? Average, only 5 times. So when Jesus talked about 30, impossible. We have never seen such a good harvest. And then he go on, 60. Maybe people start to laugh. Who are you, carpenter? Don't come and teach us how to farm. And 100 times, impossible. Maybe some start to walk away. I had a privilege to talk to a group of farmers just 2 nights ago. And I find this is interesting. And when I come back to this parable of the sower, Jesus told them something we may not be understand today. As Mark recorded in this way, and Jesus said to them, when the disciple came and asked, what is the meaning of this parable? And Jesus said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Have you ever wondered anything wrong with the scripture? It cannot be. What is the purpose of telling a parable? Using some things that could be easily understood to explain a mystery or some truth which is hard to explain. But and yet Jesus said something just simply opposite. To you has been given the secret, but for those outside, everything is parable. It seemed like the parable is being used to cover up the truth. So those who are outside, they could not understand. It cannot be. Then I'm confused. Isn't that God is love? The gospel is for all to accept. And what is the problem here? Looking at the present situation in church and outside the church, I think we have to accept a very fact. People are stubborn. They reject God. They turn away. They refuse to believe. And why? It could be beyond our imagination. But that is the fact. And they do not know, once they turn around to face God, turn their eyes upon Jesus, they would be forgiven and they would be healed. Isn't that what they want? But sorry, they don't know. In Isaiah chapter 6, quite a number of people in full-time ministry using this verse as a testimony, saying that when they read the scripture or they heard the voice and they make a response. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. And many were touched, burst out in tears, commit themselves for full-time ministry. Whenever I hear something along this line, I want to pour a bucket of cold water. And I say, look, don't stop here. Continue to read onwards. And I used to joke in this way. I say, Lord, here and I, send him. If I would have a choice, I would not say, send me. Because do you know the consequences? And the Lord did not stop here. And he said, go and say to these people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. And if you go on to read verses 11, Isaiah asks, how long would that take? In fact, forever. I take this opportunity to address those who are prepared to go into full-time ministry. You are going into something not so easy. Don't ever think that I'm a great preacher. When I preach, everybody will respond. Not quite. If you get one to respond, praise the Lord. If you can get two to understand you, even better. And if you think three would shout hallelujah, I have never heard that. And what is it all about? It seems like we are quite confused. And in Mark chapter 4, as we go back to this passage, verses 13 and 14, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And that is the key. The sower sows the word. Jesus is using this parable to say something very important. And if you go on to read into chapter 4 and put all in chapter 4 together, I think you will get a better picture. And Jesus said to them, pay attention in verse 24. Jesus said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. I think when we talk, we demand others to hear and to respond. But when you are hearing someone, do you use the same measure to react? I think as a preacher, I must admit, not quite. I demand others to listen, but very seldom I'm prepared. I pull my ear and willing to listen. First, I have to change. And hopefully, we can do something and to change. And this is serious. And Mark go on to record more parables, only in passing. If you go back to Matthew chapter 13, the whole chapter talk about parable of the kingdom of God. And Mark in verses 26 to 31 says something like this. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man would scatter seed on the ground. Verse 30, and he said, the kingdom of God, in fact, nothing much was recorded. Verse 31, it is like a grain of mustard seed. A mustard seed, which is the smallest seed available at Jesus' time. And what does that mean? If you have the faith, just like the smallest seed, the mustard seed, and you can move mountain. Yet when it is so, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade. So Jesus was talking about faith. And he doesn't require you to have great faith, just a little. And after that, you know, I shared with you last Sunday, he took them on a boat ride, put them to a test, and they all failed. And in conclusion, in verses 33 and 34. With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. Praise God, we accepted Christ Jesus as our Savior. You become in the inner circle. You are just like a disciple of Christ Jesus. And you need to go on to read the Bible and read their explanation so that you come to a good understanding. And also through life experience, let these parables that carry out the truth shine in your life. And how to put all this together? It seems like so far I'm still confusing you. And how to put it right? Praise God, since last year, we plan to go for a mission to Baguio. And that took place from last Wednesday. We plan to have a 1.5-day seminar with the clergy and the vestries. Because during last year, when we were discussing issues, the clergy has some complaint. They always lack of the support of the vestry and the leaders of the church, make the ministry so difficult. And the vestry and the leaders and even members who complained, they could not cooperate with the pastor. And I suggested to them, why don't we call in clergy and also the key leaders of the church? And therefore, we had this seminar. And while I was preparing for this, how to address my fellow clergy and also the key leaders of the church, a word kept coming to my mind, and that was evaluation. Evaluation. And I started with this word, evaluation. And the people were so responsive. In fact, straight away, they gave me all the answers of what I had prepared. Make my job very easy. And we started with self-evaluation. Before someone would evaluate you, you better do some self-evaluation. Am I right? Am I good? Am I fruitful? The theme for this year is be fruitful and be blessed. Almost half a year is gone. May I ask, are you fruitful? So far, what you can present to the Lord? The sacrifice of thanksgiving, sacrifice of praise, do you have that? Can you offer something to our Lord by doing self-evaluation? And this is important. If you don't do that, okay, others will come in to evaluate you. So when I asked the clergy, who would evaluate you? And they said, the peers, my fellow clergy. Oh, yes. And also, the congregation, especially the leaders, they are responsible for the running of the church. And they have the responsibility to evaluate the pastor and maybe write a letter to the bishop. So while we have friends, fellow workers, colleagues, don't forget they are watching you. And are you up to the mark of the rest, or are you below par, or are you above average? And if you are contented with I'm above average, and never think to strive for excellent, then you may not it that good. The peer pressure is real, especially in this competitive time. And of course, your superior will evaluate you. As far as we are concerned, the bishop is responsible for this job. I used to be an examining chaplain. We use this term, examining chaplain. What do? We have to teach the ordinance. And after all the teaching, we have to submit a report, our evaluation, and to make a very clear-cut recommendation to ordain or not. And I'm so glad I don't have to do that today. I want to be a good man. I don't want to say no, and then I carry a bad name. But praise God. If you are given the responsibility, you must dare to say no. And at the same time, dare to say yes. In my record as an examining chaplain, I did say no to quite a number. Same as I said yes to many. Interestingly, there was one candidate. As far as I'm concerned, he is very outstanding. But among four of us, three rejected him. I was the only one that said, this is a good man with great potential. But because 3-1, he was not ordained. And he resigns from the diocese. And now he is the pastor of the biggest church in Singapore. He pastored more than 30,000. It's a joke, I said. We lost such a good man. You kick your own leg and you still miss it. And that is the Anglican Church. I do not want that to happen again. And on the other hand, which is very important, God evaluates you. Many of them said this, God will evaluate us. But let's see it as a joke. When you are at the gate of heaven, let's say Peter was the gatekeeper and Peter asked you, why should I let you in? What is your answer? Praise God, many of them answered, I'm a child of God. I'm coming home. Hallelujah. You gain the entry. You go home, you knock the door, and someone inside asks, who? You say, me. And then the door is open. You try next door. Who? Me. Who are you? Who is me? They recognize your voice. If you are the son, the door is open for you. But in the Jewish mindset or Jewish tradition, they said when you come to the gate of heaven, God will ask you one question. Do you love me? And how would they answer? Oh Lord, I love you. What do you mean? Can you be a bit more specific? I always press for specific, concrete answer. Don't just say, I love you, Lord. Lord, you love me. It cannot be quantified or specified. In the Jewish mindset, instead of asking, do you love me? The Lord will ask you how much time you spend in reading my word. How will you answer? If you love me, you ought to read my word. In fact, this is my love letter to you. If you claim that you love me and you never read my love letter and never read again and again, I think in Jewish mindset, you would be rejected. And therefore, you see the Jews, they are serious in reading the Bible. And somehow I find we spend only a little time to read the Bible. So when God evaluates you and your life, how are you going to stand before Him? And that was what I started with my sharing with the clergy and vestry. And praise God, after I shared that, Brother Bertram, during the break, he came to me and said, "Pastor, what you shared is exactly what I'm going to follow up. It's along the same line." And we never check with each other, "Hey, what is your topic? What is my topic? How are we going to link up?" Oh, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I praise God, everything fall in place nicely. And he went on to share. And as we look at it, this is the very first session I shared, and followed by the second session shared by Brother Bertram. And we break into group. I take the clergy group and the other lay people with our Brother Burton and Edgar. And we had a good time. Besides sharing, talking, and we make concrete plans. What are we going to do in the future? And I saw this is like a seed sowed, and we expect it to grow. Okay, let's start from 34. And how are we being prepared? More than 2 years ago, Brother Bertram drew me a very simple map from Manila to Baguio, and then from Baguio all the way to the mountain trail. I really put in effort to remember the names. And then the people, some names related to the place, and uphold the people and the place in prayer. And praise God, this round, I could see the Lord is leading. And it's a great achievement. I reached the highest point of the highway. How many of you have done that? I checked around. Quite a number didn't go beyond Baguio. I'm a bit better then. We went to St. Simon in Abatan. We went to St. Gregory Church in Lu. I don't know what is the meaning of Lu in Tagalog. And then we went to Transfiguration, St. Paul's, and then Christ the King Parish. And I said I must take a picture, because I also pastor a church called Christ the King in Singapore, a special passion. And then a night, we had a sharing in a home setting. And this brother was interesting. He followed our 2x2 team just last month or 2 months ago. He told the Lord, "I'm going to this ministry. You take care of my crops." And he went. And when he came home, he looked at his field. It's almost his harvest time. And he was very cute when he was sharing. He said he put his finger into the soil, trying to touch the potato and dig it out. And he used his finger in this, because the normal size of potato is like this. And when the finger went into the soil, he touched something, it's bigger. It's bigger. And he had to open up his finger wide enough and grab and pull out a potato. And this is a normal size. And to his surprise, he got this harvest. The Lord took care. And this is the yielding of maybe 30-fold, beginning to show signs. And I said, "Give me these two. Let me show to my people. And what about your life?" Are you happy with this? You can say this is normal. Year after year, we are having this. But Lord, the Lord has prepared something like this. And even in 30-folds, and 60-folds, and even 100. And we read, just may not be paying attention to this. And I said, Lord, the sower sows the word. And today, we need to do the same. And what is the word? Let's say you are working on something. You need the nail. And you find, I run out for nail. So you take the last one, plant it, and hope that it will grow to have more nails. Anyone do that? That is stupid or even crazy. You know it will not grow. But the word that is given to us is different. And Peter put it in this way, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. But the word of the Lord endures forever. That the word is the good news that was announced to you. And this is the word of God that is planted in you. It will grow. But please evaluate yourself. Are you the hard ground? Or is the seed fell on the roadside, not quite into your heart? Or you have so many things that squeeze the seed and the plant that it could not grow any further. I see a lot of weak Christians because too many things squeezing and affecting the normal growth of the seed. And I praise God, there are many good soils. We have to aim for that, and not just only good. What about 30? What about 60? What about 100? You may feel the journey from Baguio back to Manila is long. It's long. But we spend a lot of time to talk, to share, to rejoice, and to plan, to think aloud. And I'm going to put on writing to challenge the vestry, all the fellowships, officers, advisors, leaders, and each and every members. Let's continue to grow. And when you hear, let's go for mission, are you afraid? Here you are being put to a test. Trust God. Christ Jesus is the one who calmed the sea. Trust Him and walk with Him. And you will enjoy the real peace in your life. And rejoice with your fellow brothers and sisters. And I long to see that you enjoy that also. I enjoy it. That is the best reward I could ever get. And I have. I enjoy. Each and every time when I go on for mission, I enjoy. There are problems. There are difficulties. There are a bit of hardship. The weather was cold. The bed was either too hard or too soft. But that is not the issue. We still had a good night of sleep. In fact, every night. Because the peace of the Lord is in us. And don't let this peace of the Lord be just a very normal responsive answer without meaning. No. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Mean it and go and have it and enjoy it. Amen.